RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms security stability key to development. Vice President Yusuf Kalla urges diasporas to do their bit for Indonesia. Thomas Lembon replaces Rahmat Gobel as Indonesian Trade Minister. Now the news in detail. Maintenance of security stability is one of the ways in which development can be ensured. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo. He said in Jakarta on Wednesday in an interview with Antara News Agency, Television Republik Indonesia TVRI, and Radio Republik Indonesia RRI in connection with the upcoming commemoration of the 17th anniversary of Indonesian independence, that the key to good implementation of efforts towards developments are security and political stability. It is important for the long run. He added that Indonesian independence was a gift from Allah that must always be used as a platform to launch big projects to advance the nation. President Joko Widodo also pointed out that ensuring border security, which can be stepped up through the development of border regions, was part of maintaining security stability. While praising the Indonesian diaspora efforts to open doors of opportunity for countrymen, Vice President Yusuf Kalla has urged Indonesians living abroad to utilize more of their skill, resources, and knowledge to build and develop the country. Members of the Indonesian diaspora living, working, and studying across the globe gathered for the 3rd Indonesian Diaspora Conference in Jakarta on Wednesday to discuss ways to contribute their overseas earned knowledge and skills to the national development. Vice President Yusuf Kalla praised expatriates' efforts to create opportunities for Indonesians in international markets and in the global settings. However, he underlined the need to do more. He noted that the Indonesian diaspora was still minuscule compared with the most populous diaspora communities in the world and region, namely those of India, China, and the Philippines, keeping the global impact of Indonesian law. Thomas Lembon officially served as an Indonesian trade minister after President Joko Widodo inaugurated him at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon. Thomas Lembon replaces Rahmat Gobel, who held a trade minister in the last months. After the inauguration, Rahmat Gobel handed over his position to Thomas Lembon. On the occasion, Gobel gave a speech to welcome his successor. Congratulations to the new minister, Thomas, who has gained the trust from the president to carry out state duties, especially the Minister of Trade. Welcome to the office. Your presence as minister, of course, could continue what has been done in elaborating efficient mission of president, which has mentioned on Nawacita. On the same occasion, Thomas also expressed his welcome speech. Thomas said he was happy to lead trade ministry. According to Thomas, the trade ministry is one of the leading institutions in the strategic and economic functions. The handover ceremony was attended by a number of officials of the ministry. President Joko Widodo said clusters of islands and fast waters in Indonesia could be used as one of the main axes for advancing the country. He also said that the government has now decided to make the maritime sector as one of the main sectors for development in view of its potential. According to the president, the government wished to start paying attention to it, develop it physically and build shipyard as interconnection between islands. It's very important in addition to maritime sector. He said one way to boost the country's economic growth was infrastructure development to smooth distribution of goods by land and sea. President Joko Widodo further said that the government would build ports so that cost of transportation would be cheaper. Indonesian Youth and Sports Minister Iman Nahrawi requested banking institutions to provide easy access to loans and low interest rates for young entrepreneurs. He expressed his request during the Gerakan Wirausaha Muda Campus, which means Young Entrepreneur Movement program at Bank Mandiri Plaza on Wednesday. Minister Imam exerted that in addition to difficult access, some of the main hurdles that must be faced by young entrepreneurs include human resources issue, the institutional factors. Minister Imam said that holding entrepreneurship training could help to address those hurdles. Besides, Minister Imam also urged banking institutions, especially Bank Mandiri, to assist college students in starting up their business. According to Minister Imam, providing easy access to banking services for college students will allow them to become good entrepreneurs and will enable students to create job opportunities. Jakarta Composite Index shrank 3.1% on Wednesday to record low at 4,579.49 points, this year on Chinese yuan devaluation. The index of the Indonesian Stock Exchange closed 143.10 points lower, and the index of a fortified most liquid stock plunged 3.69% to 752.31 points. Investors continued with share sales following the Chinese currency devaluation a bit to boost exports. The Chinese devaluation put pressure on rupiah, which is feared to have negative impact on the performance of listed companies. Chief researcher of the NH Corindo Securities Indonesia, Resha Priyambada, said that the cabinet reshuffle did not help much to prevent the shrinking value of rupiah and the fall of index. Resha hoped that the cabinet reshuffle would help prevent further fall in the Jakarta Composite Index on Thursday. He said the market would positively react to the speech of President Joko Widodo that the economy would grow more than 5% this year. The last item, Deputy Chairman of the House of Representatives DPR Fadli Sond on statesmanship discussion at the House building in Jakarta Wednesday afternoon said that Indonesia must get on fighting for having acknowledgement from the Dutch for Independence Day of Indonesia on 17 of August 1945 based on international law. He said history is the character of nation, so Indonesia must not forget the past history.
Jadi seharusnya kita melakukan juga satu refleksi terhadap 70 tahun kemerdekaan Republik Indonesia. Substansi yang diperjuangkan menurut saya sangat penting.
We should reflect the Independence Day of Indonesia. I think the substance is important. It is how the Dutch can not only approve Independence Day of Indonesia on 17th of August 1945 based on the facto but also de jure. Until now, the Dutch still approves the sovereignty acknowledgement of Indonesia on 27th of December 1949 as the end of Roundtable Conference and the establishment of Indonesia Union. If we see the significance, what for we take it de facto and de jure as a problem. If we want to talk about nation and character building, actually we must care for our history and character, because those can build our identity as a nation.
Dari sejarah, dari jati diri, karena inilah yang membentuk kita atau membentuk identitas kita sebagai sebuah bangsa.
Deputy Chairman of DPR, Fadli Sond, said as an effort of stepping Indonesian history on the right track, Indonesia must strengthen his history itself. He said that asking acknowledgement from the Dutch on Independence Day of Indonesia on 17th of August 1945 is still relevant up to now. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Respect for Diaspora. Indonesian diaspora has tremendous potential to be later contributed to the nation and state. Based on data from Indonesian Foreign Ministry, there are approximately 4.6 million Indonesian citizens who live abroad, with a variety of professionals, from laborers, artists, crew, students, to business people who are spread across five continents. Specifically, according to the chairman of Indonesian Diaspora Network, Edward Wanandi, Indonesian diasporas in 2014 were able to provide foreign exchange in the form of remittances amounting to $8.4 billion. Certainly, it is a serious concern of stakeholders. Vice President Yusuf Kalla, in a speech at the opening of the 3rd Congress of Indonesian Diaspora on August 12, 2015, confirmed that diaspora is needed because it can serve to open overseas networks, especially for access to capital, opening the export and observing knowledge from other countries. By the presence of merenta transportation, high mobility of people among countries becomes a necessity. Moreover, countries of destination had beautiful attractions and a variety of convenience to obtain what the travelers want. The question is whether Indonesia can explore and maximize the potential of the travelers. To be sure, countries like China and India can be good models of how they are able to earn huge profits from their diasporas. The annual foreign exchange which they gain, for example, can reach tens of billions of US dollars. The most important thing is that the long-term investment is very valuable. This means that there is a spread of influence in various fields, especially culture. Diaspora of any country is said to be potential if at least it has two basic points: the ability to adapt to the environment in the host country and the ability to synergize with various components in the country of origin. Thus, they will provide benefits not only for the country of origin but also the country of destination, because it shows benefits. Many of the diasporas were finally offered to change their citizenship or dual nationality. In this regard, the diasporas can only be an agent to bring mutual understanding on the issue of inter-country or globally. By mutually understanding, it is not excessive to say if Indonesia will see the making of peace and prosperity in the world. So let's respect and support the positive measures to be contributed by diasporas. They are the seeds of the true global citizens. In the future world, probably there will be no more boundaries among countries and the world in a shared maintenance and responsibility. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again, with me, Mana Rahmana, in our regular Today in History over at Rival Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from an event on August 13, 1920, when Warsaw War began. Warsaw battle between the Soviet and Poland began to breed on August 13, 1920, due to the expansionist effort of the two countries. Poland, which recently split by the Versailles Treaty, tried to recapture the lost territory, while the Soviets also wanted to control the same territory that became part of the Russian Empire. On August 13, 1920, the Soviet was offensive. Polish troops fend off a direct threat on the Soviet. The next event was in 1960, when the Central African Republic gained its independence. The Central African Republic is a landlocked country in Central Africa. It is a former French colony named Ubangisari. In the Ubangisari Territorial Assembly election in 1957, Mesan gained 340,000 out of the total 356,000 votes and won every legislative seat, which led to Buganda being elected as President of the Grand Council of French Equatorial Africa and Vice President of the Ubangisari Government Council. Within a year, he declared the establishment of the Central African Republic and served as the country's first Prime Minister. Mesan continued to exist, but his role was limited. After Buganda's death in a plane crash on March 29, 1959, his cousin David Deko took control of Mesan and became the country's first president after the Central African Republic had formally received independence from France. The last event was in 1961 when the Berlin Wall began to be constructed. The Berlin Wall was a barrier that divided Berlin from 1961 to 1989. Constructed by the German Democratic Republic or East Germany, started on 13 of August 1961. The wall completely cut out by land West Berlin from surrounding East Germany and from East Berlin until it was opened in November 1989. Its demolition officially began on June 13, 1990. And was completed in 1992. The barrier included guard towers placed along large concrete walls, which circumscribed a wide area, later known as the Death Strip, that contained anti-vehicle trenches and other fences. The Eastern Bloc claimed that the wall was erected to protect its population from fascist elements conspiring to prevent the will of the people in building a socialist state in East Germany. In practice, the wall served to prevent the massive immigration and defection that marked East Germany and the communist Eastern Bloc during the post-World War II period. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Well, listeners, it's nice to be with you again in the program on Focus through Area World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. For today's edition, I would like to highlight Indonesia is optimistic to compete in the 2015 ASEAN Economic Community. Keep in with us in www.voi.co.id. The enforcement of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, in 2015 is getting closer. Indonesia, as the biggest country in Southeast Asian region, is optimistic to be able to compete with other ASEAN member countries. This was affirmed by Vice President Yusuf Kalla on the occasion of ASEAN Day celebration in Jakarta more recently. According to Vice President Yusuf Kalla, the readiness of Indonesia must be well prepared in all matters relating to efficient and effective economy. In fact, both quantity and quality of Indonesian workers must be improved. The number of Indonesian workers is bigger, but they must be smarter, because what happens now is that the freedom of movement of goods and services and peoples occurs. So as long as good quality of Indonesian workers, this will give added value and advantage. But essentially, according to Vice President Yusuf Kalla, ASEAN Economic Community will bring about benefits to every country in ASEAN. He was confident that Indonesia's most efficient in productivity will gain greater benefit from ASEAN Economic Community. Meanwhile, Secretary General of ASEAN, Lee Loon Ming, perceived that ASEAN would be the fourth largest economic power in the world in 2030. According to Ming, about 15 years after ASEAN Economic Community started in 2015, ASEAN economic power and influence will expand and exert major influence in the world. This will also be marked by intra-ASEAN trade, which has increased rapidly from now fewer than 25% to 30%. The increase was only 5 years after the ASEAN Economic Community was launched. Min explained that the number of population that originally only consisted of 5 nations has increased into a community with a total population 625 million people. Total revenue per capita has increased, reaching $2.5 trillion. Obviously, this increase will make ASEAN as an economic power in Asia and the 7th largest in the world. ASEAN Secretary General Lee Loong Mint also said that in just 6 years after ASEAN Community Roadmap adopted in 2008, trade among ASEAN countries has increased by 33% and nearly $610 billion, or around 8,200 trillion rupiah. From 2004 until 2011, total ASEAN trade volume has doubled. Thus, ASEAN's growth will have an impact on a significant change in poverty reduction, improved health care, expanding access to information and education, disaster preparedness, and narrowing the gap between member countries. Through this ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, in 2015, Min is sure that the citizens of ASEAN Community will have greater opportunity to move forward because the development of ASEAN will always be focused on human resources. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Maintenance of security stability is one of the ways in which development can be ensured. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo. He said in Jakarta on Wednesday in an interview with Antara News Agency, Televisi Republik Indonesia TVRI and Radio Republik Indonesia RRI, in connection with the upcoming commemoration of the 17th anniversary of the country independence, that the key to good implementation efforts towards development are security and political stability. While praising the Indonesian diaspora's effort to open doors opportunities for countrymen, Vice President Yusuf Kalla has urged Indonesians living abroad to utilize more of their skill, resources, and knowledge to build and develop the country. Thomas Lembon officially served as the Indonesian Trade Minister after President Joko Widodo inaugurated him at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon. Thomas Lembon replaces Rahmat Gobel, who held as a trade minister in the last months. After the inauguration, Rahmat Gobel handed over his position to Thomas Lembon. On the occasion, Gobel gave a speech to welcome his successor. Indonesian Youth and Sports Minister Imam Nahrawi requested banking institutions to provide easy access to loans and low interest rates for young entrepreneurs. Jakarta Composite Index rent 3.1% on Wednesday to record low at 4,479.49 points this year on Chinese yuan devaluation. Deputy Chairman of the House of Representatives (DPR) Fadli Sond, on a statement seat discussion on the House building in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon, said that Indonesia must keep on fighting for having acknowledgement from the Dutch for Independence Day of Indonesia on 17 August 1945 based on international law. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Well, listener, in welcoming the Indonesian Independence Day, we introduce you Pacu Kuda tradition, so stay tuned. There are various unique traditions performed by the people of Indonesia to welcome Indonesia's independence. One of these traditions is carried out by Gayo people in Aceh province. They held a horse race, or a race known as the Pacu Kuda tradition. Interestingly, in this Pacu Kuda tradition, the jockey is not allowed to wear a shirt or topless. They do not wear safety gears such as saddles, helmets, and boots. Pacu Kuda was originally an entertainment for the people and popular in the mid of 19th century, around 1850, before the Dutch came to Aceh. At that time, Pacu Kuda usually held in paddy fields during the Pas Luas Blanc or after harvest. Luas Blanc period was coincided with the month of August. In addition, weather conditions in August were quite supportive. The winner at the time just got a degree or a great name, Gah or Marwah, which was contested in rotation. Since Pacu Kuda festival was merrier and more festive, the Dutch government then moved the Pacu Kuda attraction to Blankolak, which is now named Alun Musara Field. The goal is to unite the people and the hearts of the people. The Pacu Kuda on the Dutch colonial era was held to celebrate the birthday of Queen Wilhelmina. The prize was a certificate and an alarm clock, or baker in Indonesian. Since the prize was baker, the title for the winning horse is still called baker. In 1956, in conjunction with the formation of Central Aceh District, the Pacu Kuda was taken over by Central Aceh District Government. By the local government, the field has been moved from Alun Musara to Blang Bebangka in 2002 until now. Pacu Kuda race is quite unique because the category is determined by the age of the racehorse. There are three race classes, namely young horses for the age of 2 to 4 years, adult horses 4 to 6 years old, and old horses age over 6 years old, male and female. Pacu Kuda for young horses within one round, two rounds for adult horses, and for old horses as far as 3 rounds. Interestingly, the competitors are not race horses in general. In Pacu Kuda, there are hundreds of race horses in full. Music. Pacu Kuda tradition of Gayo people is already famous. This activity is now not only held ahead of the Independence Day, but also held to enliven the birthday of the town of Takengon and Gayo Luas district. On January 10, 2014, the Ministry of Communications and Information Technology issued a stamp service in horses. Pacu Kuda tradition of Gayo people was one of three stamp designs. Pacu Kuda, the main object of stamps, was launched by PT Pos Indonesia and the Indonesian Institute of China in Jakarta Philatelic Office on February 25, 2014. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pacu Kuda Tradition. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miss Leni from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we present you the commemoration of Pangkalan Brandan Lautan Api, or Sea of Fire. Stay tuned. Pangkalan Brandan is oil mining owned by the Indonesian government, which is situated in Langkat, North Sumatra. However, this oil mining became Sea of Fire on August 13, 1947. It began when the Allied forces, along with the Netherlands, attacked North Sumatra. This tragedy is known as military aggression of July 2, 1947. The Allied force launched attacks to Pangkalan Brandan on the following day. It started from Tandem Hilir to Stabat. At that time, the fighters which joined Langkat Area Command were determined to die rather than living under colonization. Brandan oil mining was better to be gone rather than being ruled by the colonizers. According to a history from the book Sejarah Brandan Bumi Hangus or History of Burn Brandan, compiled by Langkat Regency Government, the Allied force, which was known as Battalion Command 422, deployed infantry troops supported by one platoon of carrier, panzers, and one detachment under Poh An Tui. Having paralyzed fighting troops in Stabat, August 5, 1947, the Allied troops successfully passed through Tanjungpura and were held in Gebang. Meanwhile, in Pangkalan Brandan, anxiety emerged because the Allied forces tried to fight for the oil mining. Therefore, Commander Division 10, DRI, or the then National Military in Banda Aceh, instructed the oil mining to be destructed. On August 8, 1947, West or North Sector Commando, KSBO, got notified that the Dutch troops prepared massive attack to take the oil mining, and the Dutch radio Hilversum in Jakarta has even broadcast propaganda news stating that Pangkalan Brandan has been ruled by the Allies. On August 11, 1947, Mayor Nazaruddin as commander and battalion of train and oil mining supervision, along with battalion led by Lieutenant Ahyar and people's troops led by Ahib Lubis, issued edict for all people to leave the city of Pangkalan Brandan and its surrounding areas at least by August 12, 1947. On the same day, Securai Bridge was exploded to slow down the Allies. PMC Pangkalan Brandan also prepared an agency to handle refugee camps led by Patih Sutanna Poso Parlindungan. The burning of Pangkalan Brandan oil mining began by exploding big tanks, refinery foundation, and oil mining company buildings at about 3 a.m. local time on August 13, 1947, so it is called Brandan Lautan Api or Sea of Fire. Several days later, an information revealing that the Dutch troops would launch massive attacks to take over oil industry installation in Pangkalan Brandan. The destruction of Pangkalan Brandan is recorded in the history of Indonesia as a big day, which is commemorated every year by the Indonesian nation. It reminds the Indonesian nation that the independence of Indonesia was gained with sweat, tears, and blood. It was not given by any party. The Indonesian nation should keep maintaining peace, which was created with hard effort by the fighters. Let's create an atmosphere with full of smiles and laughter in Indonesia. Let's make diversity in the country to unite the Indonesian nation. Well, listener, that ends today's miscellany on Pangkalan Brandan Sea of Fire Day commemoration. I'm Harnita. Thank you for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I introduce you to Dee Toms. Listener, to become a singer is not enough to only have a high talent, which becomes the main capital. But there are other elements that are very important and should be owned by them, which is not unyielding attitude and the ability to be able to read the odds. One among a number of these musicians, Dee Toms tries to emerge in the music industry with the concept of the band's soloist format. Well, listener, let's listen to a single called Cantik Cantik by Dee Toms, which tells the story of a beautiful, flawless girl who is admired by a man, with a medium tempo music which is laid out nicely and harmonious progressive chord raises fresh atmosphere for anyone who listens to it. Well, listener, here is Cantik Cantik by Dee Toms. Previously, the young singer, whose full name is Tommy Adam Yusuf Ibrahim, joined a band called Popeye and had released a single in 2009. But it seemed luck did not overshadow the traveling of the band from the Banten province. However, as the motor of the band, Tommy did not necessarily give up so easily. He thought hard and finally got an idea. While looking at the market situation, he decided to turn to perform solo, but still with the band accompaniment. The concept of change apparently has the support of two members of Marvel's band, namely Ichom and Yana. Ichom even does not hesitate to act as producer. It did not take a long time to get a recording process. The Toms released a new debut album entitled Chantik. Still in the frame of young people, alternative pop music, easy listening, the Toms presents another option for music lovers across the country. In the bit of song Cinta Terakhir, the Toms tries to present an acoustic blend combined with beat of the music in a full band format. It can be imagined the impression that comes when playing an acoustic guitar intro, then drums and other instruments combined together to produce music that is clean but still stomping. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Cinta Terakhir or The Last Love. Happy listening.
Kau milikku, walau badai kan datang, ku tetap
In the first album, the Toms also dedicates a song entitled Pantai Carita as a form of love for the country. The staff is considered as a major breakthrough as a nation and human musicians. This staff is a form of manifestation of the commitment that has been built. It is not easy to do, and the Toms is expecting the support of music lovers in Indonesia so that his dream can come true. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Pantai Carita or Carita Beach. Happy listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Ah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.